put that thing down. I think I'm a little loud on that. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start reading at verse 18. 1 Peter 3:18. Notice he says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Now, those spirits in prison, I'm sure you know, before Christ's death, you have the Old Testament saints. When they died, they went to Abraham's bosom. All right, and after, of course, Christ died, he went down to the heart of the earth, and he preached to them, those souls down there. Okay, in verse 20, he says, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And again, I'm sure you know that these eight souls that were saved by water, those were the ones, of course, the water never touched. All right, so you might, you know, you let folks know for sure that if they're trying to get saved by being baptized in water, well, hey, this verse, this baptism here in verse 21 is spiritual baptism. You are saved by baptism, right? It's a spiritual baptism, though, that the Holy Spirit places you in the body of Christ. It's not water. Look at verse 22. He says, "Who has gone into heaven is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Now, what I want to look at specifically tonight, verse 20, right? Notice the term there. It says there, God waited. God waited in the days of Noah. I want to give you some things about God waiting. God waiting. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again for your mercies tonight, and I sure thank you for the precious blood that we sang about, and we pray that you would cover us and cleanse us in the blood from top to bottom, God, inside and out. We sure need your presence here tonight. We confess we're nothing, and Lord, that you're everything we need, and we pray that your Holy Spirit might give us understanding, lighten our eyes, and speak to our hearts. Whatever may be needed, we'll thank you and give you the praise for it. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, the subject you read there in those few verses, folks, that's to put it mildly, you could say a monumental event that happened in the Bible, right? You say what? It's about an entire world of people being destroyed by water. I'd say that's a pretty big deal right there, right? God was angry, folks, enough with them there. The Bible says, you read the Genesis account, right? You get over there, it says that the imaginations of man's heart was only evil continually, right? It says they corrupted their way before God. And so, you know, you read there that God destroyed everybody, folks. And I don't know how many people were there. I'd say there could have easily been 5 or 6 billion. Again, I don't know that. I mean, you can sure have a lot of babies if you live 600 years, right? You can produce a whole good tribe on that kind of stuff, right? No telling the population on that. But I know God was angry with them, right? We know God, we read there about God is angry enough with the wicked right there. He destroyed them all but eight. Right, eight souls, and then the pairs of animals he had in that thing right there. And of course, then if you're looking at the thing, you find that Noah he's 500 years old when he gets the commission, right, to build the ark. And then at 600 years old, the flood of the waters came on the earth. Now, somewhere, I believe in there, Noah's sons, they had to kind of grow up a little bit to be able to help to build that boat, right? That ark right there. So I'm saying at least 50 to 75 years there, God waited on Noah to get it done, right? It says, you know, he waited. God waited. And that's kind of an interesting thing because, you know, what we get all the time and what I'm sure you are admonished, you find out, you're admonished to be patient. Right? We're told, hey, we are to wait on the Lord, right? We're to wait on him. In James, he tells you, let patience have her perfect work. If you read through the Psalms and Isaiah, you know, you're going to come across over and over again. You get the thing, wait on the Lord, right? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We are called as his children to wait on the Lord, right? And of course, as being men, like we are human, we get impatient. I don't know about you, but I have the problem. I'm being impatient, right? It's one of my things there I work on. That is something, sometimes you may think, and then within the Christian life, well, what is the Lord waiting for? you think, God just be messing around with something here. What are you waiting on, Lord? And you can look at it like that. I don't advise that for very long, right? Just a reminder to the Lord to say, hey, patience is a virtue, right? You think about patience. Patience is something, it's not necessarily granted to you. It has to be developed. It has to be worked on constantly. And I'm sure aware of that, right? The Lord working on me constantly. Just it seems like purposely things come up and the Lord's just trying me, saying, hey, how you doing on that? here's a check, right? So on the other perspective, I want to say on this, of this thing here, while we do wait, and we are to wait on God, know that there can be a whole lot of waiting on God for us. Can I tell you, the fact is the passage says there God waited on Noah. God waited on Noah. And so, while you may be waiting on God for something, right? Maybe you've got something on your prayer list. Maybe you put something down there and God's told you some things and kind of showed you some things and you're just waiting on that thing to happen. Hey, I got to tell you, God is probably waiting on you for something also. More than likely, he's got something there he's waiting on. So I want to talk and give you some things tonight about God waiting. I want to give you some instances where God did the waiting. Take your Bibles here and look at Exodus chapter 3, first of all. Let's look over here at Exodus chapter 3. That's amazing God we have, isn't he, folks? He's amazing. Exodus chapter 3, and read the first four verses. We'll look here. Notice what he says there. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. And out of the midst of the bush he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. All right. So we read that part where it says the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. And then it was God. God called unto him. So I just want to point out on this thing right here. And you realize you read the account there, of course, that Moses, he waited on God for a long time. All right, Moses did. I believe he did. He was raised under two cultures, right? He had an Egyptian background there, and he also had the Hebrew culture he was going through on that. So for 40 years, right, you read there, in Egypt, Moses waited on God. And I don't know all that he knew about that thing about bringing the children of Israel out, but there's some real clear indications, folks. He believed. He knew that he was to lead Israel out and that they were to follow him somehow in that thing, right? But we know that there came a day that Moses, I guess you say, acted in haste. He made a bad decision there, right? He killed an Egyptian, right? You read that account there. And he had to flee. And then he had to spend 40 more years in Midian. There's two-thirds, you could say, of his life passed just waiting, right? He knew somehow that God was going to use him to bring them out, and all that thing didn't come to pass. And all that time, there he is, 80 years, and he's in Midian going through there. Now, I believe as a man, he probably was pretty frustrated at some times, right? You ever been frustrated? on that thing, I mean, he is mad enough. You read the account there that he didn't even circumcise Gershom, his son. And the angel of the Lord, reading that account there, was ready to kill him. Because he hadn't circumcised him on that account there. And Moses, I think he was probably embittered some, on that, by the continual waiting, just waiting on something. Lord, you said this, and Lord thought this was going on there. Well, maybe, I don't know if the thing is with him, maybe it was like, I thought I was called, Lord, you had called me to do this thing, I was going to do that, and here I am right now, I'm on the backside of the desert. right? And here I'm just waiting, right? And I think he's kind of upset with the stuff there. And then one day, as we read there, he saw this bush burning, you know, in the way there, and he couldn't explain it. So what did he do? He said, when he saw it, he turned aside to see, and then God called him. So I want to say this. Sometimes it works in our lives that the Lord is waiting on an act of response from us before you hear from him, okay? Sometimes God just waits for you to respond, Christian, before you hear something, right? That goes along with many of the scriptures there. Psalm 27:8 says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Sometimes, I got to say, it may be just what the Lord is waiting on from you and I, and that's an act of response, right? That you saying, okay, Lord, you said it, I'm going to act on it, right? I'm going to do that thing right there. I believe this. I know there are folks, saved folks, that have gotten out of church. And, you know, and for years and years, you know, they never get back in. They just get out of church. They, you know, they quit searching, I guess, to hear from God and just kind of, you know, don't get in the book, you know, cease to, and you get in that kind of situation, you know, they cease to examine themselves, right? They cease to get some preaching, right? They're no longer going to hear something from God. Maybe it's something they don't like and they just don't want to go back and hear something like that, right? As they ought to. I want to say to them, that kind of situation, maybe, you know, the thing to do would be, well, you know, here I am and nothing's going on much and I'm just, you know, been out of church for a long time. Maybe the Lord's just waiting for me to do something. Maybe it's the Lord waiting for me to give an active response, right, to get back going serving him, right, on that kind of stuff. I think that happens a lot. An active response, I believe, is what triggered here the Lord and what he had been waiting for to speak to Moses, right? Moses saw the bush and he turned aside to see what was going on, and then God spoke to him on that thing, all right? I want to say, when he turned aside to see, God spake to him. Maybe it's just, you know, you might have been praying for a long time. Maybe you're waiting for something for a while and nothing's going on. Maybe you consider it might be just an act of response that the Lord is waiting on from you or from me. Maybe it's something that, you know, you know that's right to do and you need to get doing on that thing. I just want to, you know, just to sit and wait for God. You know, some folks are just waiting for God to write something in the sky in their backyard in a flame of fire or something, right? When actually you know what you should be doing and you ain't doing it, and God's just waiting for you to get up and get going on some stuff, right? On that kind of thing. So I want to say it's one of the ways God waits on that thing is because he wants an active response from us. I say, yeah, Lord, I know it. I'm going to do that thing right there, okay? Secondly, look over here in Genesis chapter 24. Take your Bibles and look down Genesis 24. Let's see something else here. God waiting. And I just find that's amazing that God would do such, you know. But he does. He's a great God. Genesis 24, look at verse 18. Notice what you have here. I'll just read this. She said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. All right. So now you got to the place here in your Bible where Abraham is seeking a bride for Isaac. So what does he do? He sends his servant, you know, to a far country. Right. And the servant goes out. And now he winds up at this well, and he prays that prayer there in verse 14, right? He prays, and as he's praying there, this girl comes out, and the prayer is answered, right? When he gets done on that kind of thing. Boy, what a great thing it is. Now, look down there at verse 20. As you read verse 20 there, and notice it says, she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands and 10 shekels of weight of gold. All right. So now kind of important to get the types here and the pictures. You know, in the Old Testament, you got all kinds of pictures and types in this thing. And who is what? And that, of course, the servant you find is a type of the Holy Spirit. Okay, he's picturing the Holy Spirit. Abraham is a type of God. The girl is going to be a type of the church, right? The saved believers there. Isaac is a type of Christ. So what you find there in verse 22, I'm going to say in this type here, of course, the servant, he is waiting. We notice here he is waiting. He waited until the camels had done drinking, right, before he pulls out the goods. Now, you say, well, what is that, preacher? What's going on about that thing? Well, I want to say this. It might be a thought here. Maybe he was waiting just to see if she was going to do what she said she would do. Okay? She said of her own, out of her own will, she was going to say, hey, I'll give you water, and then you know what I'll do? When you're done, I'll give your camels water till they finish, right? And maybe he's just waiting to see, well, is she going to do that before he brings out the stuff, right? So the picture I want to say is it may be that God is going to wait to answer a prayer for you, maybe to give you something on that, till he may see that you're going to do what you said you would do on something, right? That's just a thought. Kind of interesting, eh? You know, I believe this, folks. There are a lot of people that make promises that they don't keep, right? A whole lot of folks, right? And I say maybe the Lord is just waiting till the camels are done drinking to see if perhaps, you know, you're going to finish what you promised him, okay? You're going to finish what you promised to do. And I'm sure there are a lot of Christians, folks, that have made promises to God in their lives that they have not kept. It might just be that the next time it seems like God is kind of far away and he's not answering on some things to you, maybe you ought to consider, you know, if you had made a promise to God and you just have not kept it, right? Maybe God's waiting on for you to do it, right? Maybe he's waiting on you to keep that thing. It might be he's waiting on you to finish the task that you promised. Sometimes, I know this, we get in our Christian lives, I bet you kind of just get flippant about some things. Maybe it's something you promised God a long time ago. You know, Lord, it goes like, you know, Lord, if you help me out of this thing, I'll go to church every time the doors are open, you know, as long as I live. Well, how long did it take that to go by the wayside? Right? Some things, maybe you made a promise like that to God in some difficult times, right? And I can't say this, your dilemma has kept on going because you no longer come faithful or you hadn't done something like that. I don't say that, but I would say maybe you ought to consider maybe something you have said or promised or you told the Lord you do and you haven't done it. And, you know, it's something important for you to do. The servant here waited until the camels had got all done drinking to fulfill, you know, her word. Right. And then he gave her some stuff. He gave her the jewels right there and he made it official. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord just kind of, looked down and he says, well, if they can't fulfill their word or their promise, I don't know if I can just answer something they're wanting. Right. Or they're waiting for on that kind of stuff. It's just God waiting. God waits on something like that. It's a matter of character. When you make the Lord a promise, I don't think you ought to just blow it off as nothing. Okay, that's something serious. A lot of folks, Christian, play, you know, the blame game or they want to be a victim. You know, this or that happened and couldn't do this or that. Well, it might be the Lord, just like this servant here is, waiting until the camels have done drinking. And he's waiting to see if you're going to keep your word, right, on something like that. Kind of interesting thought, ain't it? All right, and something else here, let's look at 2 Chronicles. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 33, if you would. Turn to 2 Chronicles 33. God waiting, 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And I'll look down here at verse 11, 2 Chronicles 33. Now, I'll remind you here in this thing here, of course, you read through here how wicked this king here is. This is Manasseh, right? He is a wicked king. It says there, you know, a couple times that he did abominably and wickedly above the heathen. All right, so that's getting in there pretty bad. He's getting it pretty rough there, right? He was a bad king. In 2 Chronicles 33, did I say 33? Yeah, verse 11. Notice he says there, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplications and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. All right. So and reading down through this thing, you see this case here of Manasseh. And boy, he was a rough case before this. You read the accounts of all the stuff he did. He was worse than any of those other kings and stuff like that. But even in this case on Manasseh, folks, and it got to the point where with God there was going to be no respite in God taking away the whooping he was fixing to do to Judah. Because of what all this stuff this guy had done, he was going to bring the judgment down on them because of that. And even, folks, though, you find here, with all that stuff, here's Manasseh. And you know what? He showed Manasseh some mercy, right? When Manasseh came and had remorse, right, and asked the Lord to get things right, you know what? The Lord responded mercifully. Look at verse 13. Right, as he prayed unto him, and he was entreated him, and heard his supplications, and brought him again to Jerusalem. Now, folks, Manasseh, well, he started out bad, right, but he finished strong, right? He finished in the grace of God. And so I want to say this. One thing the Lord, I want to say, waits on here was, it was a singular, contrite response, okay? He humbled himself, right, greatly, and then God was entreated of him. Okay? Now, that's something you find out throughout the scriptures and that. God is entreating. It might be, can I tell you, God is waiting on you or I just to have a humble heart in maybe some matter. Maybe it's just, you know, you need to say, okay, Lord, yeah, I really messed that up. God, I was wrong on that. Lord, you know, please forgive me. Or and maybe it's to someone else that you may need to apologize to. Maybe someone you need to, you know, get some things mended up there. I know sometimes you can sit around and be sour at some experiences that life has given you or someone has said to you or embittered you for years and years, folks. I've dealt with some people like that. You know, some of their own family members have gotten so mad they quit church, they quit serving God, reading their Bible, everything else, just so bitter on that. And God, you know, hadn't talked to them in I don't know how long on some stuff. You consider it may be God waiting for you to humble yourself. Okay, God wants you to humble yourself before he speaks to you. God waited to be good to Manasseh until he had this singular, I guess, contrite heart and response. And along with that, let's look at Hezekiah. Look at 2 Chronicles 32. Go back one chapter. 2 Chronicles 32. Hezekiah was a good king, right? Hezekiah was he was a great king. Look at verse 31. Notice this. It says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Okay, so Hezekiah was a good king. He led, you read there some accounts, he led a great revival going on there. But in one occasion, you look there at verse 24 and 25, you find out Hezekiah had this little problem. Hezekiah was sick to death. He prayed unto the Lord. He spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But, verse 25, Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore was there wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. All right? So there was an occasion there Hezekiah didn't give unto God what was due unto him. He is lifted up in pride. Thank God, verse 26, you know what happened on that? He humbled himself, and he got right with God. Everything got right on that. But then you come down the timeline there in verse 31, right? You find out that these ambassadors, they came up finding out how he was doing, and Hezekiah let them in. And he let them see all the stuff of the Lord. And can I tell you something? The Lord resented that. The Lord didn't appreciate him letting them guys in, seeing all his stuff, right? So it says there, verse 31, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon who sent unto him to inquire and to wonder what was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. All right, so I'm going to say, bring out some things on this. This thing here is kind of interesting to me. This thing here, he wanted to know what was in his heart. So I'm going to say the Lord waited until Kiah's heart was revealed. God's waiting on him. He's going to, you know, Hezekiah's heart needed to reveal him. Say, now, I want to look at that. Just, you can look at it a couple different ways, all right, on this kind of thing, because sometimes pronouns get shifted a little bit. Look back there on verse 31. So I know that maybe the Lord's showing us something else here on this, if it's not, you know, exactly right or not on that kind of stuff, where you look at this thing. Verse 31, look down there at the bottom. Notice, of course, you know it's God left him. That's Hezekiah, right? To try him. That's Hezekiah. That he, what if that's Hezekiah right there instead of God? That Hezekiah might know all that was in his heart. All right? That's kind of interesting, I think, right there, right? So if you take it like that, I think sometimes what is needed, folks, in our own lives, of course, I know many times what's needed is what we need some things revealed to us that's in our own heart. Don't you? Don't you need to know what's in your heart? You know, you read over there in Jeremiah, that heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I mean, that's one of the reasons, Christian, you need preaching. You need the voice. You know, you need the Word of God preached to you from God to come to you and speak to your conscience and your spirit and your heart. And it's going to be something that you ain't going to get at home, you know, from your wife or your husband or your kids or the TV, most likely. You got to come to church and hear from a preacher who's going to be preaching. He may not know anything about what's going on in your life. Boy, and he'll just sound that word out. You need to know what's in your heart. And Hezekiah, you remember he had that little heart problem back there in verse 25. It got lifted up some. And maybe the Lord's just saying here, hey, bud, you need to see how deep this root's going on in you. And I want you to open up. I'm going to open your eyes to your heart here before I do something else, right? God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. So if you put it like that, God waited till his heart was revealed, okay? That, hey, Lord, that thing is still in there. God, help me take the blood, wash me thoroughly, you know, get this thing out of me, right? And something else. So that's something God may wait on in your life, in our life, and as we grow and things like that. So you've seen God waiting right there. He waited to see Moses turn to see what was going on with that bush right there. He called on to him. So I want to say he waited for an active response. Are you responding to God? Are you responding and doing what you know what you should do and doing those things on that? I mean, then in Genesis 24, you had that servant. He's waiting till, I believe, the camels got all done drinking right there, waiting to see if Rebecca's going to keep her word. And she said she's going to give water to all my camels. Is she going to do that, right? So have you done what the Lord has told you, you know, to do? What you have said, what you're going to do something for God, have you done that? Are you keeping up with that? I believe many times we just kind of get careless and just kind of leave some things. And I want to at least be found doing what I said I'd do, right, and do for the Lord on that. And then there's this thing here. The Lord might, you know, be waiting on a contrite response from you somehow. It's important that you keep a check on your heart. You know, we got to keep a check on that thing, right? And then, you know, he'll wait until he sees that heart, you know, you see, you know what's going on in that thing, and you get the thing clear and you get it right. Now, lastly, I'll just bring you one more. Look at Luke chapter 2. Let's go over here in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2. See something here in Luke. I get to it. It was in there last time I checked. Luke 2. Look here at verse, 42. Luke 2:42 down here. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with this account here in Luke 2:42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. All right, so here is the Son of God. And you know what? They have just lost track of him. They couldn't find him. You know, that's a scary thing. Have you ever lost your kids? Okay, I'll be honest with you. We was in Walmart, right? My wife had the girls, and I had my son, Thomas, right? He was under 10. I think he was under 10, something like that. And I'm in the electronics department with him, right? We're looking at all the kind of stuff there, you know, looking at this. And then all of a sudden, I hear over the speakers, Thomas McDonald and family, please come to the front and pick up their son, Tommy McDonald. I look around, you know, he's not there. So I have to go up to the front right there. You know, there's a police officer standing up there with Thomas, and he goes, "Hi, Dad." I said, "Okay, son, how you rascal, you, how did you get?" I lost him, you know, that kind of stuff. It was scary, you know, but they lost him, right? They didn't find him, right? So what they did, they didn't find him, you understand, until, you know, they returned where they had lost him, right? They didn't get him back until they went back to the place where they lost him, right? So I'm going to say this. I mean, the Lord waited for them to return to where they lost him before they found him, all right? So I realize, Christian, you know, we're still in the flesh, right? And we're in this thing right here. Many times we get disconnected. At times, we get out of fellowship with God. We lose track of maybe what would be important for us to keep on track with God, right? Maybe, you know, fellowshipping with Him daily, you know, loving Him, putting Him first. And, you know, they just lost Him, right? He got lost in the crowd thinking they thought He was somewhere else. You know, and a lot of folks just quit, you know, getting back in the Bible and reading the Bible faithfully and praying and talking to God. And could be some sin they didn't confess and get right, they didn't let go. Or it could be just, you know, and it's just not having the fellowship with God day like that. You can sit and, you know, you can pray, you know, "God, help me. I want to go on and be closer to you." But folks, sometimes it doesn't work unless maybe you go back to where you lost Him, right? Where was it you lost that fellowship, that joy? Maybe that peace you had, maybe it was something you just turned, you decide, "Well, I'm going to do my own way here," right? And you kind of on that kind of stuff. You need to rebuild what you tore back, what got tore back down, and you got to get back on that trail, right? Get back on that thing. The Lord waited until they returned to where they left Him, right? It could be the Lord's waiting for you, right, to return to where you left Him to get things back right. And I understand, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys are coming on a Thursday night, and I'm sure you do want to hear from God. You do want, you know, to be close with God. You don't want to lose Him. I mean, but as just being in the flesh, maybe sometime this might, maybe the Lord can use this to ring a bell or give you a help to or to think about some things that may not be just going on, you know, what's going on here, Lord? I don't have this or that. And maybe it's the Lord waiting on you. It ain't God all the time, you know, His fault. It's most likely us on that kind of thing. So we are to wait on God. We are to seek God continually, right? But many times, I got to tell you, God is just waiting on us for one thing or another. Amen. All right, folks, that's the message tonight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I sure thank You for Your kindnesses tonight. Appreciate these folks coming out here to hear from You. Lord, I pray You'd bless them. I pray, Lord, may You speak to them the Word of God. To guide, lead, direct us. Father, we need understanding. And any one of these things, Lord, may come up in our lives at different times. And sometimes we just don't even notice exactly what's going on there and just let things slip. But Lord, may in Your mercies and Your kindness, the Holy Spirit of God, bring us back to Thee and point us to You, Lord. Keep us close to You. And we'll thank You and give You the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right.